Welcome to Let's Talk About Obesity Care, a podcast series from Let's Go. The series is focused on thought-provoking and informative conversations to support medical providers interested in obesity prevention and treatment. I'm your host, Carrie Gordon, a pediatric nephrologist turned childhood obesity treatment physician. I am a clinical advisor to Let's Go, a childhood obesity prevention program of the Barbara Bush Children's Hospital, and a practicing specialist at Maine Medical Center's Weight and Wellness Program in lovely Portland, Maine.
Today, we're going to be discussing motivational interviewing with Dr. Catherine Sharp. Katie is a dual-trained physician in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. She has a deep interest in helping people improve their health through changes in lifestyle, and has a lot of experience with motivational interviewing, running lifestyle changed focus group medical visits, and has done a lot of education for primary care in MI with some short videos that she's done. Welcome. Thanks for joining us, Katie.
Thanks, Carrie. I'm happy to be here. I love talking about this topic, so excited.
Well, let's just dive right in. First, let's talk about what is motivational interviewing and when is it a tool that you should be pulling out of your toolbox?
Yeah, that's a great question. Motivational interviewing, it's an evidence-based style of discussion to help guide behavior change. And you can really practice it in medicine, but also outside of medicine to help with forming and breaking habits. And really the goal that you're trying to get at is behavior change and working through ambivalence. So it's a different style of interviewing and it is evidence-based and it can be really helpful when you're talking about any type of behavior change. There have been some really good studies out there, including meta-analysis, randomized control trials for motivational interviewing compared to more traditional interviewing that we see in medicine. And it has been shown to be effective in long-term sustainable change. And we've seen reductions in weight, cholesterol, systolic blood pressure, blood alcohol concentration, alcohol use compared to more traditional approaches. So it can definitely be effective in a variety of areas in medicine. So consider using it not only for these areas, but in other areas for behavior change as well.
Well, I think, you know, when I've done some MI trainings in the past, Let's Go has organized some that I've done in the past. I've done exactly what you've said, sort of practice it, not just in the office, but practice it with family members. And I think it's incredible how effective it is when you're a good listener.
Yeah, it can be very effective in terms of listening. And there is some directive component to it as well. But really the point is to allow the patient to be in control of their decisions and the management or the participant, whoever you're talking to, and really let them drive the conversation and the behavior change. It's very different than traditional medical interviewing, which can be very directive and it's mostly talking while the patient is listening, compared to motivational interviewing is more about the patient taking control of their next steps and actively participating in the behavior change.
There's, you know, one of the assumptions about MI I really love, it's that, you know, when you're doing motivational interviewing, when you're working with someone, it's really, I think it's very respectful because you use this assumption that this person that you're speaking with, they know themselves best and they really know which changes they can make and need to make. It's really just a matter of helping them put those pieces together.
Yep, exactly. You're trying to work with the patient, you're trying to be supportive, and they know best what's going to work for them. So say you're talking about lifestyle change with exercise, you really don't want to go into the conversation saying, you really need to start going to the gym 5 days a week, because that might not work for everyone. It might not even work for someone to go to the gym. So you're trying to ask them, you know, what would work for them in their life? What would, you know, is it walking every day or is it doing some kind of movement? So it's really trying to take steps that would work for them instead of just telling them, being very directive and kind of guiding them for what would work with them.
And that sort of leads us into one of the questions I really wanted to talk about today is like how using motivational interviewing can change the dynamic that you develop with your patients. Like you mentioned, many of us in healthcare, maybe not people who trained when you trained, which is, you know, newer training. And I think MI is more often incorporated, but training back when I trained, it was much more directive. And I think the dynamic with your patients is very different when you have a directive approach versus when you have this sort of more of a coaching approach like MI.
Yeah, there are so many components to a typical medical visit with both the patient and the provider. And motivational interviewing really allows the patients to take some of that legwork and make decisions for next steps in a way that would work for them. So instead of putting out a treatment plan or behavior change that is not obtainable for that person, it's instead working with where they're at and supporting them in the next step. So you're really trying to help them work through the ambivalence, work through roadblocks. And it's been shown in studies that it's more effective than traditional medical interviewing in aiding in behavior change, informing long-term sustainable change compared to traditional medical interviewing.
And, you know, we were talking a little bit about how it might feel more effective on the patient side, you know, feeling like, you know, you're more included in the decisions, you can get, you know, more realistic plan. How is it beneficial for providers? Because I know sometimes when I'm having a frustrating interaction with a patient, that's what triggers me to remember, like, wait a minute, you know, your dynamic here needs to change and mine might be helpful. Can you talk a little bit about why it can be more effective or easier providers to use the motivational interviewing than some of the standardized ways we may have been taught to work with patients?
I think for a similar reason too, is that a lot of the times providers will get frustrated because you're telling patients what to do. And then a lot of the times they don't do it. They go home and maybe they're confused about the instructions or they just don't want to follow those instructions. So it can be very frustrating to put time and effort in and then feel like it's maybe not getting through. And I think this can help a lot with providers and patients feeling more like they're in a collaboration and working together. So the patients are more likely to actually follow through with these instructions and providers will be more likely to see the results. And motivational interviewing, a lot of people think it takes a lot of time to be effective, but studies have actually shown that can be effective in even 15-minute visits. And the more visits you have with the patients, the more effective it is. So it is more effective to just keep doing little bouts of motivational interviewing at each appointment instead of one giant kind of concept of motivational interviewing during a visit. You can spread it out and take your time with it.
Can you talk a bit about some of the challenges you may have had sort of navigating the use of MI in your clinic experience and tools or tips that you've used that have helped you use MI more often or use it more effectively?
I would say time is definitely a challenge. Like I said, it doesn't have to be a long visit to be effective, but often it's hard to fit everything into one visit. So I would say utilizing the time that you do have and just picking one goal that's really attainable for the providers and the patients. Instead of trying to address several goals in one visit, you're really just focusing on one thing. So for example, you could, if you notice that a patient's BMI is something you really want to address in the visit, you just kind of work through that, like BMI, obesity, cholesterol, or blood pressure. And then bring up that topic and introduce the importance of the behavior change and then put it back on them. What would they like to work on? Or are they working on something right now that maybe they need support on? So I think really just picking one area of change can be really helpful. And if they're not ready to make that change at that point, you give information and then you tell them, maybe we can discuss this at the next follow-up visit. Another helpful kind of tips and tricks that I use is really utilizing my resources. So I use a lot of the main health resources, the National Diabetes Prevention Program, team-based care. There's referrals for lifestyle medicine group visit, medical visits. We also have a health coach that we work with that can do individual coaching through Maine Health. So really utilizing Maine Health resources, using your organization resources, and understanding just information you can give the patient to take home and really do a little bit of research on their own.
How about for a provider who wants to learn more about MI? Are there any, you know, areas you go to just come up with some questions that are less, you know, yes, no answers or on specific topics? Or do you keep a list in Epic, or is it just come naturally to you now? Or how do you dig deep to get some of those things?
So I have done some trainings for motivational interviewing, which I think have been very helpful. And if you get the chance to do a training as a provider, I think it's worth it. It's definitely worth it to understand what questions you can ask, keeping it open-ended, how to guide the conversation, that it's not just staying stagnant. You're really reaching a goal. So you really want to reach toward a SMART goal, which is specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, timely goal by the end of the visit. So using those kind of resources, there's a lot of really good resources out there for motivational interviewing that I go back to and I review sometimes. We do have some videos through Maine Health as well Just in Five series, there's a video on motivational interviewing that myself and then a few of my colleagues have also recorded that can be very helpful. And there's trainings with Health Education and Training Institute through Maine. There's a few really good papers on motivational interviewing. SAMHSA has some good resources, and the CDC also has really good scripts and resources that you can refer to if you're looking for substance use trainings or fall prevention, obesity, diabetes. There's a bunch of scripts out there too to look at motivational interviewing for a lot of behaviors.
Yeah, you know, when I wanted to start using it more often in my clinic, in coordination with Let's Go, I did develop some obesity for pediatrics, obesity follow-up visit guides that have some pre-formatted office visit notes that have MI questions kind of just on specific topics. And obviously this doesn't take the place of doing MI training, but at least gets you kind of started if someone wants to talk, for example, about, you know, decreasing sugary drinks. Sometimes coming up with an MI question about that topic may not feel easy. And so there are definitely also resources through Let's Go that people could get their hands on if they want.
Yeah, I think utilizing the resources we have available through Maine Health is really helpful. And I have the same, I have some smart phrases I refer to sometimes. So kind of just working through your own smart phrases or writing down some things could be helpful as well.
And I wanted to have you talk a little bit about how we use motivational interviewing in a visit, but then also are able to deliver information to patients. You want to talk a little bit about your approach to that?
So I try to incorporate motivational interviewing into almost every visit I have with a patient. And I usually, like I said, I pick maybe one topic that I really want to address with them. And if that's not a topic they want to address during that visit, I just kind of move on. But I think bringing it up at every appointment is really important. And it can be done by any provider. It doesn't just have to be primary care. It could be specialty clinics. It can be a nursing visit. I think it's been shown in studies that as long as your provider is bringing it up, it's actually very useful. So I would say just bringing it up.
One of the things that I think when I started doing the MI trainings that really helped me out was asking permission when I'm with the patients. Like, would it be okay if I talk to you about what the research shows us on how we talk to kids who carry extra weight in a way that doesn't, you know, negatively impact their self-esteem? I mean, would it be okay if we talked about the concerns I have with the way you're growing? I think one of the nice things about MI is it just reminds us that we don't have to necessarily talk about everything that we'd like to at a visit, and that people are going to be more open to hearing what information we're going to deliver if we've actually asked them their permission first.
That's such a good point. I completely agree. I think asking for permission is a big part of MI too, and making sure that the patient is comfortable about the behavior change and that you're having this conversation and they're open to it. So definitely asking for permission. And another thing I also like to think about, and I miss this part in the challenges, but also kind of understanding that there might be barriers that the patients will have to work through before they can make this behavior change. So thinking about things like social determinants of health, such as housing or food insecurity or transportation or cultural barriers, are all something we have to keep in mind when you're using motivational interviewing. Sometimes it's more effective to address these barriers before you jump right into trying to do a behavior change.
Yeah, I think that's another MI tool that I really like, and I'm certainly not as adept at it probably as you are, but one of the tools that I love to use that's an MI tool is the confidence scales. And for the listeners who've never used those, you know, when a patient may say, well, I'd like to cut down on my sugary drinks, just to stick with the theme we were talking about earlier. I'd like to cut down my sugary drinks from, you know, maybe 8 or 9 a week to 2 a week. Then you can ask them, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are they that they're going to be able to do that? And, you know, you can kind of go up and down with their number. If they picked a 7, for some reason, people use 7s a lot. It feels like in clinic. So they picked a 7. Why didn't they pick a 1? You know, that shows where they are confident, where their strengths are. And then you can ask them, well, why didn't they pick a 10? And, you know, that can show you where maybe some of the challenges they're feeling like they might face would be, and gives you another opportunity to potentially give them some other supportive advice.
Yeah, we do. I use that sometimes also. I do group medical visits, lifestyle medicine group medical visits, and we use the confidence scale in our intake process. So it's really helpful to identify what people really want to work on during that visit and also how you can move them forward. So I think that's a great tool as well. And there's some other good tools, like the mnemonics ORS. I like using that one just to remember to keep it open-ended. You can use affirmations, reflections, and remembering to summarize.
Can you give us an example of an affirmation that you might use?
A good example of giving an affirmation would be if a patient were to say that they're really ready for change. You're pretty much, this could also be a reflection, but you're going to take that and you're going to affirm it. It sounds like you're really ready for change. Or you can also reflect that back, which is very similar. You could say, it sounds like you're ready for change. So if you're using the ORS techniques, it's really affirming what the patient is saying and giving them the confidence in what they're saying, or you can reflect it back, which are both techniques to use in motivational interviewing.
Great. That's super helpful. And I think sometimes repeating something back that a patient has said can feel a little patronizing if it's really just repeating exactly what they're saying. And I agree with you that just sort of sounds like you're telling me you might be ready, or, you know, saying it a little differently can feel more like a conversation and less of a, you know, just canned response, which I think is great.
Yeah. And in motivational interviewing, there are simple and complex reflections. So simple is pretty much like we said, we're just reflecting it back, which I think can be a little bit easier, but can make the conversation seem a little more scripted. And complex reflection is taking what they say and then adding a little bit of meaning to it. So if a patient is talking about how they're on all these medications and they're not really sure where to start or which medications to take or how to take their medications, you might, for a complex reflection, reflect back and say, it seems like you think your health might be out of your control, because it doesn't sound like they have a lot of control over their medications or their health. So it's taking what they're saying and then adding some meaning to it. And it's okay if you don't exactly get that meaning back. It's more to stimulate the conversation and get the patient thinking about the issue at hand.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think one of the things about MI that I think is a kind of a relief when you start using it, especially if you're using it effectively, is that it kind of makes you feel like you have to less be the expert in every single thing you're talking about in the conversation. And really more, the point is to get conversation flowing, to get people thinking about their challenges, thinking about the things that are important to them and how they can change it.
Yeah, exactly. It's almost as though there's two experts in the room. You're one expert and the patient is the other expert. So it's not just taking your word for everything. It's really having that conversation and understanding that the patient's going to know best for how they can make this change.
Oh, I think that's a great way to end the podcast. That's like probably the most important thing that we said the whole time. And I think I'm really grateful for the trainings you've done helping people learn more about motivational interviewing, and for taking the time today to talk to us about it.
Yeah, no problem. This is great. And if people have an interest in learning more about motivational interviewing, there are a lot of great resources out there. So definitely keep learning.
Thanks so much, Katie.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Let's Talk About Obesity Care. You can find all of our episodes on your podcast app and on our webpage, letsgo.org. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, we'd really love to hear from you. Please email us at info@letsgo.org. Let's Talk About Obesity Care is produced by Let's Go, with technical support from Maine Health Educational Services. Thanks so much for joining us.